Now, the gradual path is explained in many different ways. It's explained in terms of the Eightfold Path. It's explained in terms of the seven stages of purification. Explained in terms of the ten bhumis, and so on and so forth. Perhaps, however, it's best explained in terms of what we may call the 12 positive nidanas, or links. These constitute, we may say, psychologically and spiritually, the successive stages of the path, or the successive spirals of this progressive movement of conditionality as it winds out of the round. Now, this evening, or this afternoon, we are concerned only with the first 8 of these 12. We're going to ignore the last 4. And even with these 8, we're going to be concerned very briefly. We're going to be concerned more especially with the first and second of them, and with the 7th and 8th. Now, the first and second are dukkha, that's pain or suffering, unsatisfactoriness, and saddha, which means faith or confidence. These are the first and second nidanas or links in this positive, progressive, one might also say spiral, series leading up and out of the round, away from the merely cyclical mode of action and reaction. Now, dukkha, the first, pain or suffering, the first of these 12, corresponds in the 12 nidanas of the Paticca-samutpada to vedana. That is, the last link in the effect process of the present life. And saddha, faith or confidence, corresponds to trishna, craving or thirst, the first link in the cause process of the present existence, the present life. Now, what does this mean? As we've said before, as we sit here or at any other time, various sensations, feelings, experiences are impinging upon us from all sides. And as we saw, we can react with craving and so on, and in this way perpetuate the cyclical movement of existence. But we can also react in a different way. We can react, as it were, not negatively, but positively, as all these sensations and feelings and experiences impinge upon us, pleasant, painful, and neutral. We can begin to see, we can begin to realize that none of them are really very satisfactory, not even the pleasant ones. That they're not enough, as it were. We can begin to see, even begin to feel, that even if we could isolate the pleasant experiences, eliminate the painful ones, and even if we could perpetuate those pleasant experiences, even that wouldn't be enough. There'd be still some hidden lack, something not satisfied, something almost, as it were, frustrating. So we begin to see, we begin to realize almost, that this whole conditioned existence, our life, our experience in the ordinary sense, isn't enough. It can't give us permanent, deep, true satisfaction or happiness. It's unsatisfactory. In other words, dukkha, suffering, in the long run, if we analyze it deeply. So because of this seeing, because of this experience, we, as it were, sit loose to it. We begin to detach ourselves from it. We don't care about it so much. We lose interest in it. And we start thinking that there must be something higher. There must be, as it were, something beyond, something which can give satisfaction of a more permanent, a deeper, and a truer nature. Something, in a word, spiritual, something even transcendental. So we begin to shift our attention, we begin to shift our interest, and eventually we place the heart, because sadha or shraddha, the word faith, comes from a verb meaning to place the heart. We begin to place the heart not so much on the conditioned, not so much on the things of everyday experience, but more and more on the unconditioned, on the spiritual, on the transcendental. And in this way, faith develops. At first, of course, it's all confused, vague, inchoate, as it were. But gradually it clears, it settles down, it strengthens, and eventually it becomes faith or confidence in the three jewels. We begin to see the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha as the embodiments, as it were, of those higher spiritual values which stand, as it were, above and beyond the world, but at the same time giving meaning and significance to the world. We place the heart more and more on them, develop faith and confidence in them. And when that waxes strong, we are, as it were, galvanized into action, and we go for refuge, as we saw last week. So in this way, independence upon dukkha, suffering, unsatisfactoriness, there arises faith, devotion. Instead of independence upon feeling arises craving, independence upon the experience of the unsatisfactoriness of the whole of conditioned existence, there arises faith in the unconditioned as represented by the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So at this point, at this juncture, we've left the round and we've entered upon the spiral. We've begun to move, not in a cyclical way, a cyclical order, but progressively in a spiral order. We've entered upon the path that is leading to nirvana. Now this corresponds, this experience or this stage, to conversion in the sense in which it was discussed last week. That is, in the sense of going for refuge. This transition, this first transition, as it were, from the round to the spiral. Independence upon the experience of unsatisfactoriness, there arises faith, devotion. This being the positive, more spiritual counterpart of craving or thirst. But what about stream entry? You might be thinking that we're a very long time in coming to the point. What about stream entry? We haven't entered the stream yet. But we may say that now at this stage we begin to enter the stream, small s, which leads to the stream, big s. So let's go just a little bit further. Let's examine briefly the rest of the eight positive progressive links which make up the spiral. Now, independence upon faith, faith and devotion, in the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, there arises what is called pramojja, or pramojja, usually translated as satisfaction and delight. This is a sort of feeling, this is a sort of experience which arises when one sees, when one feels, that one has no cause for self-reproach, that you've not done anything, so far as you can recollect, which makes you feel guilty. You've got, as it were, a perfectly clear conscience. Now in Buddhism, very great importance is attached to this state. Buddhism teaches, if you've anything on your mind, if you've anything on your conscience, Anything that you've done which you regret or which you're ashamed of or which you repent, but anything unatoned, to which you haven't, as it were, come to terms, or that you haven't come to terms with yourself on account of it, then it's very difficult, if not impossible, to make any further progress. Certainly not any progress in, for instance, meditation. So therefore, in Buddhism, there are prescribed various practices of confession of sins and self-purification in various ways, so as to eliminate that feeling of remorse or guilt, to wipe it out and replace it by this state of pamoja, satisfaction and delight, in which one is, as it were, on good terms with oneself. There's no time to go into the details of the practices. These are, in any case, to be learned individually rather than collectively in a meeting. But the important thing is that in dependence upon faith and devotion in the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, there arises this mental state of satisfaction and delight, happiness as it were, contentment that one has been able to do this, and that one has nothing with which one can reproach oneself, that one's conscience is perfectly clear, nothing on one's mind, nothing on account of which one need feel any remorse or regret whatsoever. Now, in dependence upon this sort of mental state of satisfaction and delight, there arises what is called priti. Priti is usually translated as interest, enthusiasm, joy, rapture, and even as ecstasy. The Buddhist literature enumerates 5 kinds of priti, but we've no time to go into them this evening. Priti, we may say, very broadly represents a sort of upsurge of joy from the very depths of the person concerned in consequence of the liberation through the previous practices of confession and so on of all the emotional energies which has been previously locked up in the subconscious or even the unconscious mind in the form of various mental conflicts. When something goes off your mind, you feel much lighter, as it were, something comes bubbling up from within. So when this takes place in a very radical sense, when all these locked up or submerged emotional energies are liberated and released and they come bubbling up, there's not only experience of release, but an experience at the same time of intense joy, enthusiasm or rapture or even ecstasy. And this is psychophysical. That is, you don't only experience it in the mind, mentally, you experience it at the same time in the body. That's why when one experiences priti, sometimes the hair may stand on end, or sometimes the person concerned may shed tears and so on. These are all manifestations of this priti, a psychophysical experience which can reach a very great degree of intensity. Now next, in dependence upon this experience of priti, this intense joy or rapture or ecstasy, that arises pasaddhi. Pasaddhi means calmness or repose or tranquility. This represents the cessation of the purely bodily manifestations of priti. The bodily manifestations all die down, they are calmed, they are tranquilized. And what is left is a state of purely mental, or rather purely spiritual, happiness, in which there's no sense consciousness. This is what is called sukha. So therefore, in dependence upon pasanti or tranquility, there arises sukha or bliss. And this bliss is a purely spiritual feeling which pervades the entire being. And it has, we may say, a concentrating and integrating effect on the entire being. The entire being is harmonized and, as it were, made whole. So therefore, in dependence upon this experience of bliss, this total experience of bliss, there arises the state which we call samadhi. Now samadhi is usually translated just as concentration. But from what I've said so far, you can understand that this translation is in fact a very inadequate one indeed. We may say that samadhi really represents the state of perfect wholeness at a high level of awareness, with or without experience of sense or bodily consciousness.